basically what I'm showing people how to do is to get out of their own way, because the biggest limiting factor to anyone's success is themselves. When people follow their knowing, their gut, that's when magic happens, because you actually get the acknowledgement from other people when you no longer need it.
Hey everyone, Dave Menz, Laundromat Millionaire, coming to you again from Cincinnati, Ohio. And we have a super cool guest with us today that I think you're going to get a lot of value out, but whew, holy moly. Carla and I just got home from the Laundromat Millionaire Conference, guys, in Florida. Awesome. And if you can't tell, if you're looking at the video, you won't see it on audio, obviously, but on video, I'm a little bit sunburnt. If you were there with us, that was epic. Awesome. It was epic. Awesome. I don't know what other word to use. That was amazing. But the fact of the matter is, that's not what we're here to talk about today. We have a super cool guest with us that is out of the industry. If you were at the conference, I talked to you and I told you about how I've learned so much from people outside the industry. And for whatever reason, all of us laundromat owners, which is a big part of our audience here on this show, for some reason, we just kind of stay in the industry, and I'm not sure why that is, but we need to break that mold and get outside there and bring new information in from people that are going to challenge us and help us grow. That's what this episode is all about today. So, Carla, do you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, I'd love to. So I'm excited to introduce our guest today. Our guest today is Jason Dries. He is a husband, a father of four boys, an entrepreneur, an author, a speaker, and a performance coach based in Austin, Texas. Jason helps clients rewire their mindset to tap into their full potential and experience extraordinary growth in all areas of their lives. So I am excited to be inspired today. So Jason, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Carla, for the intro. And Dave, it's great to be here today.
Yeah, welcome, man. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day. We know that our time is valuable, and for everyone in life, it's finite. And so we really appreciate the fact that you took an hour of your life to spend it with us to bring others value, which is really cool and important to us. So listen, I got to start out with a joke, because this is just where my mind's going. So when I hear like a performance coach, Jason, I think like you're teaching people to do acrobatics, or maybe an acting coach, like to perform. That's just where my mind goes. And I realize that's not who you are and what you are. And we'll get into that in a second. But that's just to break the ice a little. That's where my mind went. He's like training trapeze artists or something like that. But we'll dive into the mental aspect of it. And I have a feeling it's going to go a little bit deep here, which I'm super excited about. Listen, before we jump into who you are and what you are today, can you just take us back to your childhood and kind of give us a brief synopsis of kind of who Jason Dries is and who you were as a child and what your household was like growing up as a kid?
Yeah. So I grew up in Southern California. I had one older sister, and for the most part, you know, I think that I had a great childhood, you know, a lot of good family times, a lot of good tight family. We did a lot of camping and dirt bike riding as a family. And we used to go to Thanksgiving dinner, and even grandma would be out there too. And we would, so my family was really tight when we were growing up, and it was a lot of fun. And my parents, I would say probably middle class, towards the middle upper section. And we grew up in Long Beach, California. And then in fourth grade, we moved to Diamond Bar. And Diamond Bar is kind of a wealthier area that we moved into. And we moved there because I would have been going to some bad schools, and I would have went to Compton High School if we hadn't moved, right? So we moved there. And so we had most things. You know, my dad struggled with work a little bit when I was in high school. And when I was, I started to realize I like to have things, and if I want things, I need to make money because my parents, they provided, but you know, there was an excess everywhere. And the interesting contrast I grew up with was that, you know, living in a wealthier area, when I was in high school, a lot of my classmates got BMWs for their 16th birthdays, you know.
You didn't?
I got a job. So, I've been working since I was 15 and a half. You know, I got a job when I was 15 and a half, worked at the golf course, and I played on my golf team and did that. And along the way, I just really just was driving to have more money, more success. And that was just kind of like the foundation of my movement, because if I didn't do it, no one else was going to.
That's powerful. I've said that myself. I grew up in a little bit different situation than you as a kid, but I had those same lessons ingrained in me. Ultimately, what I heard you say is what I say all the time. Nobody's going to come and give me anything. I figured that out at a very young age. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there in the world that maybe still need that lesson.
They do.
They think, right? There really is a tooth fairy. Sorry if kids are listening.
Yeah. You know, and now that we have, you know, more money than my parents had, a lot more, and making a lot more money than I've got boys, and trying to parent is a challenge, right? Mm. It's like, you know, do they need to learn that struggle too? Or can they catapult off my success? You know, so
we're dealing with that too. We have two boys, 11 and 14. And every day I just wonder, like, everything I work for, the passion that we have for success, like, are we ruining our kids? It's like this really funny dichotomy, right?
He's always talking about the need for grit. And we're like, do our kids have grit?
Yeah, they're a little soft, huh?
Yeah. Well, and I see this a lot in clients, and in being a coach, I can see this easily, in that as parents, we want to share our greatest lessons, but our children don't have the same lessons we do. Mm-hmm. They have different, and the way the world's going right now, like, they're going to have to be systems builders, right? Because all the old systems are changing. So it's really, it's an interesting place to be when you walked your journey. And I'm actually a member of Go Abundance. I don't know if you know Go Abundance.
I do.
Go Abundance is a men's group. And there's a lot of really amazing men in there. And there's a conversation about, like, what do you do with your wealth when you pass on, when you transition out? Like, do you give it to the kids or do you not, right? And it's an interesting thing. And there's a lot of, and sometimes you're like, well, they need to learn it too. Mm-hmm. Or did you solve that problem so well, the next generation doesn't have to deal with it, right? So, is that a launching point, right? So, yeah, and I look at my sons, and like, one, I'm like, oh, he'll launch. The other one, I'm like, I don't know what he's going to do. He may just travel for a while, play games, you know, but that's their path, right?
Yeah.
So
all right.
How did you get from Southern California to this, Texas? A performance coach?
Well, so I went to, I was good in math and sciences, and my uncles were engineers. So be an engineer. So I'm like, okay, I went to Cal Poly, civil engineer, stayed home, worked the whole time. After 3 years, was still basically a freshman. Like, I just didn't go. I shouldn't have not gone at all. And then I got a job, a sales job with a friend of mine at Ingram Micro, a tech sales company. And then I just took off from there. So I was in tech sales for about 16 years. Moved to Northern California in 2020. No, I'm sorry, in 2000. Started my first company in 2008, which manufactured race car driver cooling suits.
Oh, wow.
I had, that was some fun. I raised $500,000 in startup funding. We invented some products, had some patent applications, and got to play around in the pits in Daytona and stuff like that. So that was fun. Along the way, I was listening to Tony Robbins audio systems. I hired a Tony Robbins coach. And then in 2012, my Tony Robbins coach asked me this question, said, have you ever thought about becoming a coach? And when he asked me that question, it was like I got struck by lightning. It was like, and it was literally the first time in my entire life I ever remember being excited to learn something about work. I was just, because I would always be in the top 10% without trying. But when the coaching thing hit me, it was like, boom. And then literally I went to a Tony Robbins event, went to another Tony Robbins event. And then 6 months later, I got into the coach training program and got laid off from my tech job and had to build a business with a gun to my head. So that was 2012, 2013. And it was two small children, not a big income, and quite a bit of struggle along the way.
Oh, wow.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the things I talk about with our industry, the laundromat industry, is I always say, you know, when you go to a party, you tell people you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, they're always impressed. And then when they ask what business or industry are you in, you say you're a laundromat owner, and they always go, oh, like, I thought you were a real business owner. I didn't know you were just on laundromats. Like, it's not a real business. And so I immediately, when you were like, yeah, we're making like cooling suits for race car drivers, I'm like, that's a cool thing to say at a party. You want to impress people, go tell them that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I thought, like, if you would have talked to me 10 years ago, I'm like, I'm going to be this jet setting race car driver, because what I realized from being around the racing, like, 80% of the guys driving are paying to drive. They are.
Really?
Not NASCAR, but you go down a level to the other professional racing. Those are all people. They're all gray haired guys who have money and companies. So I'm like, okay, well, my company's going to blow up. I'm going to be a race car driver and I'm going to be do this. But if all of that would have happened, I wouldn't be where I am today, because that was part of my process of getting here.
Right. Are you renovating your store or building a new one? Tired of persistent and expensive plumbing issues like I was? Get an HM Company drain trough to give those drain lines a fighting chance against the constant wear and tear of laundromat life. Sizing is fully customizable to meet your needs, and lead times are a maximum of 2 weeks. I've used them in my stores in Cincinnati for years, and I'm installing them in my new store, which is opening soon. Visit their website today at draintroughs.com and contact your distributor to order your drain trough today. Yeah. Well, I know you talked to us offline and in your forum and everything that, you know, you had several, I mean, you're very transparent in the information you provided to us, that you've had a lot of failures, you know, and you've learned a lot along the way, which I'm guessing led to the successes that you've had today. I think you said something about 4 or 5 failures along the way. Real quickly, can you walk us through what those were like and what the, I mean, that had to be, I know from my failures, I've learned a lot, I've grown a lot, but they're also like gut-wrenching. I think sometimes we grab a hold of that cliche of like, failure is how you learn, which is true, right? It's true.
Yeah.
But then we just like gloss right over the fact that like that tore you apart. At least it did me. I'll say me. Just tore me to my core. Can you walk us through the lessons that you learned along that journey?
Well, one of the lessons that showed up initially in 2003, I had a tech sales job. I was making about $120,000 a year. Had an opportunity to switch companies. I lived in the Bay Area, so lots of tech companies. I had an opportunity to switch to a new tech company, and I was kind of tired of that environment. Wanted to switch. I go there, I walk in, and I, you know, he says, "Hey, this is a 200K job." I'm like, "Sweet!" And I literally had the worst interview in my entire life. Blew up, and like literally prior to that, I've got every job, like 99% of the jobs I interviewed for, I'd get offers. And I didn't realize until almost 8 years later that it was my financial mindset that made me self-sabotage. So one of the biggest lessons I've had through my failures, and that actually happened again in 2017. I got a job, I got a 200K salary, and I did something stupid 90 days later and got fired. Because I had started to out-earn my financial identity. And I had beliefs in my mindset that said if rich people are greedy and bad, because my parents and dad didn't like wealthy people. So my brain was like, if I have lots of money, they're not going to love me. So my subconscious mind fixed it. That was probably one of the biggest ones. And if I actually track my financial success to where I am today and my business success, it's literally mapped to my financial success. Because for me, my biggest limiting factor was my financial success. Some people it's like they're getting over their fear. Some people it's learning to lead, that sort of thing. But mine was always financial mindset.
Hey guys, this is your girl Lira, and you're listening to Self-Reflection Podcast. Thank you guys for joining me on another episode of Self-Reflection Podcast. I hope this podcast episode finds you in the best possible state that you can be in for yourself today. You know, and if you're not doing your best, I hope, you know, you find some time to care for your mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, and your psychological health. You know, I hope you find some time to do some self-reflection. Just gather yourself and, you know, find the best possible way you can deal with what you're dealing with in this moment, right?
You know, I've heard that term self-sabotage before, and I've always heard it associated with like subconscious. I guess everything happens, but I don't think most people intentionally sabotage themselves consciously, but subconsciously we do. So it's interesting to hear you kind of break that down into different categories of like, what did you say? Financial. And then what, break that down for us again?
I said financial mindset, right? It's the level of thinking. It's like my mental operating system around money wasn't above 200,000. So I didn't make 200,000.
Is that a lot of what you do is try to determine your client's kind of mindset and what they're doing to self-sabotage and how to get past that?
That's exactly what we do. And whatever their block is, we help them open that.
That's really interesting, because I'm just going to speak for me here. But, you know, as we found different levels of success, you know, I grew up in extreme poverty, and I don't think I was ever afraid of money. I don't know. Maybe I was. But as I've reached different levels of success, I don't think I've self-sabotaged. Maybe I have. But what I have done is felt really, really guilty. How does that, what are your thoughts on that?
That's a part of it as well, right? Now, your limiting factor in your acceleration may have not been financial mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It may have been something, like if we dug into it, we'd find what it was. But everybody has a growth area. And then the things we're going through in life create our growth areas. And financial mindset is really a piece of it, right? It's, you know, how beliefs about making money, beliefs about having money, beliefs about spending, beliefs about saving. Like everybody says, you got to save money. Why do you got to save? Oh, for a rainy day. So people are walking around with an expectation that bad things are going to happen. Mm. So they're literally manifesting it. Mm-hmm. So what I figured out how to do is to get people into alignment, because when I worked for Tony Robbins, I was a coach at Tony Robbins. I would just grind people around action. What are you going to do? Come on, take the action. What kind of dad are you going to be if you don't take that action, right? Crank up the leverage and force action, but it was forcing misaligned action. What I've discovered right now is there's a level above mindset that when you align it, stuff happens automatically. So whether you're feeling self-worth around money or feeling bad about having more money or whatever it is, that's just an indicator that it's time to shift gears to a higher gear. It will eventually hold you back.
I've referred to my life as, you know, broken down to kind of five or six different, I call them ceilings.
Yeah.
Like, is that kind of what you're talking about? Like, I don't know if limiting is the right word. Maybe it is, but I've always seen it as like, I'm not capable of more than that. And then once I exceeded that, then I was like, huh, who knew?
Yeah.
I always, you know, the term glass ceiling, I'm not a woman, but I mean, the glass ceiling comes to mind in the sense of like, it's something you're not supposed to be able to do. But yet here you are.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
I think for him, it's like his background, you know, like he sees, well, I don't have a college education. You're not supposed to be able to achieve without a college education. But then he finds success, or, you know, I was never at the top of my class, but look at me succeeding in this. And I don't know. I think it's almost like a self-confidence, because the world has told him he shouldn't be able to. And then it's also a stubbornness of like, I'm going to prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's my secret sauce. And I don't know if that's toxic. You might break this down. You might break this down for me. No. We don't want to turn this into a Dave Meds coaching session.
Yeah.
Because it could take 6 hours.
I told you the coaching was going to come up. I told you.
Yeah, I know.
It always does.
That's interesting. But
whether it was out of spite is irrelevant, right? Yep. That created resolve in you, mm-hmm. right? Created determination. And we all have a process we got to get here, right? And one of the silliest examples is like these Supreme Court nominations, right? Well, look what they did when they're 20 years ago. Like if you look what I did when I was 20, mm-hmm. people would hate me. I was like 20-year-old butthead drinking a lot of beers, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, but I had to go through that to become this person. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a journey, right? So and the challenge with human beings is that the world is changing a lot right now. We're also changing. And what I've found is that we're no longer living in a world where action equals reality. We're in a reality where frequency creates your reality. We're no longer one-to-one. So for example, let me give you a simple diagram here, and this will help you understand the mindset pieces, right? So imagine I'm drawing this on a piece of paper. So I'm going to draw a tiny circle here, and I'm going to call this circle action. As human beings and entrepreneurs, we focus on action. What do I want to do? Okay. But what if we don't know what action to take, or our action isn't working? What do we do then? Right. We may read a book, listen to a podcast, right? So imagine there's a little circle called action, and then a circle around that, a little bigger circle that contains it. That circle we call mindset. Okay. So your mindset creates the ideas for the strategy you take, and that your mindset is your mind. It's your brain. Now, if your mindset is in alignment with the target, it will generate an aligned strategy and an aligned action, and you'll hit the target, right? Now, you're at the level of success. You can open a new laundromat, do this, like you know how to do it because you've done it before. It's already in the mindset. Mm-hmm. If the mindset hasn't done it before, it is going to generate a misaligned strategy with the wrong action that won't work. The old way is when it's not working is we force action. You're feeling resistance to taking that action, or I'm scared to open seven because I was super comfortable with six laundromats, but going to seven feels scary. So you'd force that action. But what's actually happening is there's misalignment happening. You're getting negative emotional input like fear, anxiety. That's misalignment. What I've discovered in the past 15 months is there's another circle around mindset. So if you draw a bigger circle that contains mindset and contains action, I actually call that your frame. And the frame is you, because mindset is your mind. Frame is all of you. And we all kind of know that life responds to us, right? Sometimes life goes great and sometimes life doesn't go great. And one idea I like to play with is that whoever created all this that we live in, would it make sense that when that person or thing or whatever you call it created all of this, they gave us energetic beings a way to interact with our energetic reality and make it respond to us? Like, does that idea make sense, right? And what I've found and proven multiple times is your frame determines how life responds to you. And as I've learned how to shift people's frames, their mindset gets in alignment automatically because our brains think that action creates reality, but it's actually backwards. Your reality creates your action. Mm. So when a person has a financial mindset of resistance or limiting beliefs about their self-worth, or I can't be rich, or I have to do this, or whatever it is, that's based on their past references, their brain, right? And that's in a frame of limited financial mindset. So you can't change the mindset. You can't change the frame from the mindset because the direction of creation goes mindset, frame, action. So all you have to do is shift to a frame of financial alignment, and then it creates a mindset that's in alignment and an action in alignment just like that. Boom. And that's, I use that same process to 10X my business in 2020 and grew a 2.5X last year. So basically what I'm showing people how to do is to get out of their own way because your brain is your biggest limiting factor, because moving forward, your brain is going through its database of information, everything prior to now, everything you've done, every win, every failure, and everything that's been conditioned into your brain. And it's going through that filter moving forward. So in the next moment, anything can happen. But 98% of the population is going to repeat what they just did with a 1% to 3% variance. Mm. So what I really do is I help people get open so that in the next moment they can do anything. Because the biggest limiting factor to anyone's success is themselves. And that can show up as self-worth, financial alignment, fear, discomfort, lots of different areas of mindset alignment. But the great thing about operating at the frame level is that you don't have to diagnose it. It doesn't matter. You just feel the misalignment and shift.
So what do you tell your clients to do? How do they shift this?
How do you shift frames? It's super simple. Like, can you get a sense of a version? Like, let's say you've got six laundromats and they're profitable. You got an opportunity to get two more, but you're frozen, right? For whatever reason. And you don't know why. To shift your frame, all you have to do is say, can you get a sense of a version of you in the future that knows how to open two more successfully?
So you just visualize yourself doing whatever you want successfully, and that shifts your frame?
Notice I didn't say visualize.
Okay.
I said get a sense.
Okay. What's the difference?
Visualizing happens in the mindset level in the brain.
Okay.
Get a sense happens at the frame level. And we all do this all the time. But what we usually do is we frame shift backwards. I mean, we wake up, we're driving in the car, we hear the song from 20 years ago, and then we feel bad about ourselves. And we literally lower ourselves down, a lower frame, right? We do it all the time. What I'm showing people how to do is to go to a higher frame they've never been before.
That's what I was just getting ready to ask. Can you shift that in the opposite direction? And you're essentially saying that's what you teach people to do.
Yes, yes.
So when the core component is, what do? You say you're a success coach, or what was the term you use? I apologize.
Performance coach.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Back to the trapeze. performance coach. Yeah. What you're doing is teaching them to shift. I'm not a real smart guy, so work with me a minute here.
I don't agree with that.
is this the lay common terminology of like you're punching above your weight class? Is that essentially this what you're saying?
You could say that, but I would say it's really tapping into all of you, right? It's tapping into all of you, right? Because you're more unless we're more, these bodies that are made of atoms, they tell us in seventh grade science, it's kind of hard to comprehend, but you know, we live our lives in our mind. Right. And your mind, and then you have your thinking, right. And then you have your knowing or your gut instinct. I can guarantee, Dave, if I interviewed you for 2 hours, we'd talk about times where you followed your gut, right? Mm-hmm. Your gut is your information from life on which way to go, which usually contradicts your brain and your social conditioning from the past. Mm. What I've found is when people follow their knowing, their gut, that's when magic happens. Like, I'm a freaking life coach, and I make so like 10 times more than I did in sales. Like and the average life coach in the US makes 30 grand a year, right? Because it doesn't make sense. Life is also nonlinear, but most people aren't aiming bigger, especially financially, because they don't know how. I don't know how, but that doesn't matter. Go figure it out. And most people are shutting their potential down because they're in a frame of, oh, I can't do that. And amazing things don't happen to me. So I don't know how. So they just live their life right there. All I do is open that up to, yeah, amazing things can happen. And then they do.
All right. I guess this is going to turn into a Dave Menz coaching session.
it works better that way.
Okay. Well, good. Cause Carla's pretty balanced. I'm kind of a mess. So we'll fix me. Okay.
Sure.
No, I find this just absolutely completely fascinating. And I know, you know, maybe parts of it are going above different people's heads and stuff like that. Maybe it's a little too deep and they weren't expecting this in a podcast. I'm not sure how different people are processing this, but I know with me, you just hit on something, because my entire life I've been called arrogant. And the reason people always called me arrogant is, despite average grades and average looks and a life of poverty and all these people in my life, you know, teachers and whatever, telling me what I wasn't going to accomplish, in my heart of hearts, I've known since the day I was born that I'm hot and cold.
Yeah.
Like, I run hot. And when I'm hot, I mean, I'm like a Rottweiler. I mean, I got a hold of something and there ain't no letting go. And I knew that about me from a very young age. And so despite all these supposed indicators that suggested that I wouldn't or couldn't do whatever, I always knew in my heart, I'm literally talking the age of 3 or 4 years old, I'd look at a 45-year-old person and be like, I can do anything I want to do. Yeah. Like, and I knew I could. I didn't need anybody to verify it. I didn't. Yeah. And it was always came across as like really arrogant. And as I've, you know, I'm now 45, as I've kind of entered middle age here, I look back and I'm like, you know, that's really a reflection of their insecurities, which is kind of like powerful to like process. But it's so funny because I just, my whole life pretty much have continued to do things that people told me I couldn't do. In fact, we just did it with our conference. We just,
congratulations on that.
Thank you. Fantastic. Yeah. We literally just got back a couple days ago from our first Laundromat Millionaire Conference in Fort Lauderdale. And I somehow convinced, despite just being a guy in Cincinnati, I convinced 125 people to pay money to travel from 30 states to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And someone traveled from Bolivia to come and listen to not only me, but a bunch of other smart people that would help them find a new level of success. When I decided that I was going to do that, there wasn't anything in the world going to stop me. And I didn't know if we'd crash and burn, but this was going down and I might be the only one there, but this was happening. And I had a lot of encouragement from people that really care about me and believe in me and all those things. But I also had a lot of what I call haters, a lot of people shooting arrows in my back and trying to keep me from accomplishing something to, you know, make themselves feel better. That literally just happened last week, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I'm really proud of that, but you know what that sounds like? Arrogance.
but it's not there's confidence is often interpreted by arrogance by those that don't have it. This society is built to support and acknowledge being average. If you are average, you're going to get average results with an average job and an average income, an average house and an average partner. It's going to suck, right? But you'll get, so much company and all of these pills and things to help you feel better being average. But when you start climbing your own mountain, when you start walking the path to greatness is what I call it, right? When you like going after what you know is possible and playing your full potential, it's a lonely journey climbing that mountain, lonely. Because everyone else is in the valley, right? Here's you climbing the mountain because you're like, you're driven to go up there and everyone else is hanging out in the valley and all they see is this. And they're like, they can't see the view up there and they don't know the work it takes. So when you get to the top, they're like, oh, you must've been born there, right? No, no, I climbed that mountain and broke my leg multiple times and fell down, but because that journey to greatness is a lonely journey. It absolutely is.
Wow. Isn't that a couple sentence lesson for every entrepreneur on planet Earth, which is ultimately what our show's about. We're really not about laundromats, despite the title. We're about entrepreneurship. We're about small business owners. Yeah. And man, is that a lonely journey. How many times have we heard that? And it is true. Yeah. Even if you got somebody as wonderful as my wife, good, you know, supporting you and going alongside of you, yeah, it's still lonely. It's still tough. It is brutal. And what a great analogy of climbing that mountain.
It is.
I'd say there's a lot of people listening to this right now, nodding their heads.
Yeah. And there's phases of that journey, right? The first phase is when you start doing something amazing. And this is when I started to become a coach. And I was like, oh my God, I got accepted into Tony Robbins coach training program, just like out of nowhere. And I was one of the 30 people. And I go, hey, everybody, look at what they're doing. And they're like, nobody even saw it. So I kept going and I tried something more difficult and I pushed more and more, had another success, looked around for everybody to support me. And they're like, why are you doing that? Like your family is struggling right now financially. You don't have that paying job. You're making less money. You're on food assistance from the state right now. How is that successful? Mm. And that was me in like 2013, 2014. And I'm just like, I can't stop, because I knew if I didn't become a coach, I would be settling for the rest of my life and my boys would also settle in their life. So I knew that regardless of what happened to me, that battle was for them too, because when you solve a problem as a parent, your kids don't have to. So I kept going and kept going and kept going and got to the point where I stopped looking for acknowledgement for other people. And then I looked around and I was getting it, because you actually get the acknowledgement from other people when you no longer need it. Mm. That's when it shows up.
Wow.
And the most satisfying thing to me in my journey to becoming a successful entrepreneur isn't the cash and prizes at the end. Like, that's fun. Mm-hmm. But the most satisfying thing to me is knowing with myself that I gave it everything I had. That's the most. I would actually rather miss my target than not give it everything I've got.
You know, when I talked to, and I do some coaching within our industry and things like that to help people be successful in the laundromat industry. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I get so commonly is, you know, what's the key to success, right? And I all I know to do is teach people what I did, right? That's your best baseline. And so I tell people all the time is the only thing that I know when I look back on my past is when I decided to be a business owner and an entrepreneur, which I wanted to do my whole life, I decided there was nothing going to stop me. And it didn't matter how long it took. So I hear people out, man, I've been at this for a year. And I just, you know, not comparison. I know. Like, I go back in my mind and I'm like, I had been at this for 7 or 8 years and I was more resolute than in year one. There was like, I don't know how long I have on this earth, but there was no quit. That wasn't an option, because this wasn't what I'm doing. This is who I am. And that's tough to, like, can you teach people that? What are your thoughts on that?
Like, I stopped working for the weekend in like 2003 when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. Hmm. I didn't break $200,000 a year in income until almost 15 years later. So,
wow, 15 years, guys. Listen to that.
15 years. Because yeah, there's actually income earning levels, right? So there's, and I'll answer that other question in a second. So, like, breaking six figures isn't hard. You just have to focus. Mm-hmm. And whatever job, if you work hard enough, you can make six figures. It's not that hard. Getting to 200 is harder though. 250 is hard. 250 is really hard, because you either need to be really good at sales or a doctor or a specialized degree, or you need to be an executive at a company. And most entrepreneurs who are trying to make money are never going to fit in as executives anyway. Never. So I find getting to 250 is one of the hardest financial thresholds to cross. But once you hit 250, that's the first level of financial abundance. And once you hit that, you can pay the unknown dental bill and the things like that. And then from 250, you go to 500 just like that. And then 500 to a million really is when you get into the leverage piece. So that's why it took me like 15 years. Can you teach that? Well, it's not something you can teach, because it's a decision. Are you deciding to get in the game to success? So what I say to people who I see they're in and out of the game, and I actually won't coach somebody. If you're not in the game, I'm not going to coach you. So the thing that what I tell to all struggling entrepreneurs is, number one, make a decision right now that you're going to get on the court and play the game no matter what. You're going to walk the path to greatness and give yourself no other option but to walk the path. And if you do that, all the fear of walking the path goes away. But it's that first step, like you, for you, Dave, that decision was already flipped. Some people, that process of making the decision is the major part of their journey. It's that full commitment.
I see that, because he's very like all in or all out. And I'm more of a laid back person. But for me, my all in is my marriage, my family. So when he's all in, I'm all in, not because I'm entrepreneurial, but I'm all in because I'm all in to my marriage and my support for him. So I see that. So I guess my switch is flipped, but in a different way, because I am not entrepreneurial. I'm a former teacher.
Yeah, but he couldn't have done it without you. So
not a doubt about it.
Yeah, it's a team. My wife's the same way. Like she's a teacher. She's different. And I'm like, go. And she's like, whoa, she doesn't like change. Right. And I'm like the chaos machine. Right.
Yes. So that sounds like us.
She's like, it's constant change. I'm like, no, it's constant improvement.
There you go.
We went to Cirque du Soleil. There's a Cirque du Soleil show in town. We went and we're in the middle of the intermission. I'm like, we should take our boys to Vegas and like go watch a bunch of shows. She's like, can we finish enjoying this one first?
You might be my brother. You might be my brother, Jason. Because you're literally describing me. She's always like, you're always 3 years ahead. Can you like just enjoy today? I'm like, well, that's why I have you. I mean, she does kind of keep me grounded at times.
Well, and that's my surprise. And my biggest area of growth right now is slowing down. And the more I slow down and the more space I put around my action, the more stuff flows through me. So I'm guessing that's probably your next journey too, is to understand that we're not living in the world where mindset creates reality. So action equals results. Frequency creates reality. So Dave's next level of going, adding a zero behind the income and the empire may actually have less work.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. We're definitely in a grind right now. We're in investment mode of a new tier for sure. All right. So I have to ask this story, and we're by no means done. So guys, stick around. There's still a whole bunch more we want to talk about with Jason, if you have time. I got to ask about this dog food thing. I mean, are you kidding me? Like Carla, didn't you tell me a story where you ate bacon?
I ate pepperoni.
Bacon? Oh, pepperoni.
Pepperoni. It was like when I was in high school. It smelled like pepperoni. So I was curious.
And she just had to try it.
We're like, it smells like pepperoni. I wonder if it tastes like pepperoni. It doesn't.
so when you told us a story about like, I ate dog food on my way to success, and you say it was one of the most transformative things you've ever done. And I think you said there's even a video on YouTube or something. Tell us about that. What, I mean, were you like living on dog food, or was it like Carla taste test thing?
Just trying it out.
So I ate dog food one time. Okay. So this was 2013. Like literally what happened is my wife and I were working in the Bay Area, and our second son, which was pregnant with our second son. She ran a preschool out of our house. I was working a tech sales job. We decided to move to near Sacramento, where we'd cut our expenses at home. She'd close the preschool and she'd stay home with the kids. So she closed her business down. We moved over here. And then literally the week after I moved, I got laid off from my tech job, and we just moved. And she was due with a baby in like 3 weeks. And I called my company. I'm like, can you lay me off in next month? And like the HR woman's like, can she have the baby early? And I'm like, what?
Like, they actually said that?
I'm like, you're a woman.
That's like, not how this works. You understand
that's not
that,
how
right?
this works. So, and then literally, oh, you're accepted to the coach training. Oh, wait, cool. Right. So there was that. Fortunately, I'd been in sales for a long time. So I basically started building my own coaching business. I'm with the Chamber of Commerce, networking, and doing everything I can to find clients, because the ramp up to Tony stuff was like 6 months. And for some reason, all of a sudden, tech companies in the Bay Area weren't hiring people in Sacramento anymore, even though that's what's happened for the past 10 years. They wanted everybody locally. So it was struggling financially. And I was talking to, and this was early 2014, where I'm talking to another coach on my team, And I was talking to him and I'm like, I need some personal clients because the Tony Robbins experience is great, the training, but I make a lot more money with my own personal clients. Cause I, you know, I was making $60 an hour at Tony Robbins. I was making $250 an hour by myself.
Okay.
And, so I'm talking to him, I need personal clients. He's like, well, how many clients you want? I'm like, I could really use $2,000 this week. He's like, get $2,000 this week. I'm like, okay. He's like, okay, so get $2,000 this week. And if you don't do $2,000 this week, you got to eat a can of dog food. I'm like, okay, done. And he goes, I'm like, okay. He goes, now post it on the internal Facebook page. Like the coaches team had an internal Facebook page where the coaching staff all communicated. And I'm like, yes. And when I went to go say yes, I'm like, I couldn't speak. And I'm like, and he's like, well, don't you want that income like to help your family? I'm like, yes. But I was like, I hadn't done that before. And he's like, okay, well, go to the Facebook page, record a little video, say you're going to have $2,000 in sales this week. And if you don't, you're going to eat a can of dog food. And I was frozen and the words wouldn't come out of my mouth. And he was an amazing coach and he still is. And his name's Gabriel Patrick. And he said to me, so Dash is three, right? So just imagine 10 years from now, you're picking up Dash from school. He's 13 in junior high. He's talking to his friends after school. And his friends say, hey, Dash, why do you live with your grandma? And Dash, my oldest, says, well, we live with my grandma because my dad wasn't willing to eat dog food to create financial independence. Mm. And it was like this punch in the gut that's just boom. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. And so I made the decision I'm like, it's done. I posted the video, do it. And I'm like, for the next 3 days, my stomach is twisting in knots and turning in knots and twisting in knots. And I had a couple of appointments. And then come Friday, I actually closed two personal coaching contracts, and which generated about $2,500 in income. And I was super excited about that. The two people I met with on Friday, they're like, can I pay you next week? And I'm like, yes, of course, I'm not going to screw it up to try to force the payment. So technically I failed the challenge, and the challenge actually was at midnight. So technically I failed the challenge, even though I hit the result that I wanted. So that Saturday comes and I'm like, I put it on the Facebook group. I gotta eat the dog food because I've always really prided myself. If I say something, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And the video of me eating dog food is on YouTube.
Hi, this is Jason, and I have not hit my target this week. And this is actually not about punishment. This is about doing what I'm saying I was going to do. And I'm doing this now because if I don't break this pattern, I'm going to be passing this on to my children and my boys. And it's been long enough for me not living up and doing what I say I'm going to do. So here it goes.
It's on there.
Okay. I gotta ask, did you eat this entire can?
It was one of the small cans.
Oh, so you cheated. Okay. Gotcha.
I cheated. Yeah.
One did bite would be way more than enough for me.
But it like no ketchup, no out of the can cold generic liver flavor. Right.
Goodness.
And what I didn't realize is that dog food has chunks of bones in it.
No,
there's bones in it. Yeah. So I go to this and here's what happened. So I go to I had been on Tony Robbins coach since like August of 2013. So beginning of 2014, I was one of like 120 coaches and I was just brand new coach. And so I'm like, I'm going to eat the dog food. And I went there and I'm like, how am I going to do this? And I said, you know something, I'm going to make a decision to do this, even though it's something disgusting because I said so. Mm-hmm. And I started to eat and I got about 75% of it down before it wanted to come back up because you chew it and there's bone, you can't chew. So you have to swallow it. Mm-hmm. It was gnarly. And what actually happened was, after that, the first sales call at Tony Robbins in July, they announced the coach performance for the first half of the year. I was the number one coach on two of the three top metrics for the first half of the year out of 120 coaches. And I haven't worked there a year. 100% of my clients renewed. I also had high product sales and fulfillment rate. So I basically was performed number one coach on the team in 6 months. After that. And what actually happened at that time, and the reason my stomach was twisting and turning and a knot, is because the part of me that said it was okay, that thought it was okay to say something and not do it, that part of me died. Mm. So I don't say something I'm not going to do.
Yeah.
If I have to, I'll come back and say I can't do it. But that's one of the things I pride myself on is doing what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do it as best I can. Yeah,
I do too. And I take that pretty literally sometimes. And I always say, like, if you want to set me off, one of my hot buttons, or what do they call them? Yeah, hot buttons. Yeah. Is when people don't do what they say they'll do. And I always say, like, if it's because you just didn't want to, or don't feel the obligation, or you changed your mind, that'll set me off. If it's you gave it everything you had and you died trying, I'll take that. Because there's usually growth in there. I think that's kind of what I'm hearing you say, right? Like, there's a transformative situation happening there, where even if you shoot for the, what is the saying? Shoot for the moon. If you miss, you hit the stars, or something like that.
Yeah. But what it actually happens is when you are firm and clear with your decision, you're actually giving reality a clear frame, a clear frequency. The interesting thing about the dog food stuff is that after that, I started to get other coaches on the team, giving them as clients to help them increase their performance. So I was one of the coaches of Tony Robbins that coached the other coaches. And I gave the dog food challenge to quite a few coaches. And I could count 3 or 4 that I gave it to who failed their challenges and never ate the dog food.
Really? Yep.
And how successful are they now?
They're not where I am.
Guys, if you're listening to this right now, I think you need to just take a deep breath and process this for a second. Because that's some pretty transformative stuff. And I don't know where you're at in your journey, but I think we all need to process things like that. And let's be honest, I say all the time, I'm a big fan of telling people what they need to hear versus what they want to hear. And that might be some of that. You might be a little bit uncomfortable. You might have even just turned us off. I mean, we might have just flat out pissed you off. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this is what it takes. And Jason, if we could, for a couple minutes, can we dive into just your thoughts on coaching? Not Jason's coaching, not Dave's coaching, coaching. And I would love for you to talk to the fact of the things that you've learned and how it's transformed your life. Obviously, you're transforming other people's lives, to our audience. And the reason I say this is most of our audience is laundromat owners and in the laundromat industry. And most of them believe that they can just learn what they need to learn by joining a free Facebook group. And I'm not saying there's no value in there. I have one of those and there's some value in there. But they just believe that, like, coaches and manifesting this, and I got to be challenged, and I got to do the dog food challenge, or that it's all like gimmicky. Yeah. And I'll be totally honest with you, Jason, there might've been a time where I might even believe that. Maybe so. If I go back far enough, there's probably some truth to that. And what I've learned is that every time I embrace coaching for myself, that I grow to a level that I didn't know I was capable of. It's that ceiling we were talking about. Yeah. And now that I do coaching with other people, what my observations are, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, 2 things. One of them is when they come into the situation, what I call wrong, meaning that mindset you're describing, there is almost nothing I can do. And when they come into it right, it's so easy. It's so easy for me to coach them and show them the things that the blind spots and the different things like that. Can you dissect that for a minute?
Yes. Yeah, so like if they're not coachable, coaching doesn't work. Coaching doesn't work without permission. So if you find yourself in that situation, the way you get them to open is you ask them, do I have permission to coach you? Would you like some coaching? And if they say no, there, but that question will open them up. Coaching is like, it's one of the pieces of success. Like if you look at entrepreneurial success, coaching is a way to get honest, direct, unbiased input about you. That's what it is. Because what coaches are actually trained on, compared to the average person giving you advice, coaches are trained to give you advice from your point of view, your perspective, instead of mine, because most people are giving you what they think. Every one of us is on a unique journey, so that no one's going to know, like, the only person who knows what it's like to be Dave is Dave. The only person who knows what it's like to be Jason is Jason. The only person who knows what it's like to be Carla is Carla, right? We have those unique perspectives, but the right coach can help you move past the things that are holding you back. And I actually think there's 4 components to like entrepreneurial success. And number one is really, I think coaching is absolutely the number one way. Okay. Number two is like education and training, right? It's part of it. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, it's mindset, education, and training. If you're a laundromat, it's laundromat education and training or business training. There's also community and peer group. having people around you who can support you. Because when you start climbing mountains, you want to talk to other people who are climbing mountains. Hey, when you got to that icy section, what kind of equipment did you use? Person in the valley is not going to know, right? And then also there's mentoring. Getting around mentors who've done that, have blazed that level, can show you what's possible and can show you shortcuts. So I think those four pieces actually what brings it together. And there's occasionally the person who doesn't need my style of coaching. It doesn't work for. Other styles do. But the vast majority of people, if they're open to it, coaching helps them accelerate. The big challenge, though, is that as you go up, let me give you an example here. So like, we're energy, right? You're energy. So this is the way I like to explain it, is like, imagine this is your baseline for today. And this is you today. And every day you're alive, you're more than you were yesterday, right? So the energy of you goes up and up and up. You've got more experience, more understanding, more knowledge, goes up and up and up and up. So you're kind of growing through life like this, right? And when you start to go to a higher frequency, anything within you that's not at that frequency needs to be integrated. That's why when you start to grow, you may have memories come up from 10 years ago that you haven't thought of in a while, because that's basically you integrating. Because as we are living in this reality of frequency and instead of the reality of action, the higher you go, think of it like a hot air balloon. As a hot air balloon goes up, you got to give it the gas, the flame, to go higher. But how does the hot air balloon stay up? The hot air balloon stays up when you drop the sandbags weighing it down. So the higher you go, the more of your past stuff you have to integrate. Now, if you're on like a slow growth, like the average person, you need to integrate once every 3 months. If you're on a radically accelerated growth path, you have to integrate once every hour. So you want to grow your business 10X, just say yes to everything and then integrate it. And the reason a lot of people I found are resistant to coaching is because it starts to bring up the stuff in them that doesn't feel good. And they don't want to go there. And they don't realize they're literally minutes away from never feeling that way again. But you have to look in the closet to clean it out.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. All right. Listen, a couple more things before we let you go today, if it's okay.
Yeah.
So I know you have a book, and yes. I'm totally fascinated by the title, Do the Impossible. Like, talk about Dave. I've done all kinds of things people can't tell me I can't do, and I'm going to do some more. They have no idea what's coming. Tell me about that book.
Yeah. So the book is called Do the Impossible. And what I do is I aim people at impossible targets. And basically this book is like the foundation of this process. It teaches you how to frame shift. It also uses, I use repeat after me statements. Frame shifting shifts your frames, repeat after me statements shift your mind. And when people do goal setting, there's three goal setting questions. Most times you ask people, what do they want? They give you an answer. And that's how people set goals. But that goal is based on past reference. So then you say, what's possible? Then they'll give you a different answer. That answer is based on external reference. If you ask somebody, hey, Dave, what is impossible to do this year, but would be a lot of fun? Basically, that book teaches you how to live in this space and get in alignment with doing impossible things.
My understanding is your book comes out April 12th. Is that right?
We've had some publishing delays because of the industry right now. So it's looking at May 12th is, but you can pre-order now. Bigger Pockets has it.
Okay. So guys, if you want to go to a level you don't think you're capable of, that sounds like the book for you. And possibly Jason's coaching. So Jason, how can people reach you? I mean, I know you have all kinds of stuff going on. Guys, if this isn't getting your attention, let me throw a couple things out at you. He grew 10X in 3 months. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah.
Grew his business 10X, 10 times in 3 months in the fourth quarter of 2020.
Yeah. Well, it was the 10X in the year, 75% of it was in 3 months.
Wow.
And then I grew at 2.5X the next year.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm even for 4X or more this year.
So what's your impossible? I'm going to grab Jason for a minute. What's your
impossible target? I've got a couple. My first impossible target is to impact a million people with my content. My second impossible target is to build the largest off-road ranch area in Texas, because I love off-roading and there's not much public land here. So I want to get 100,000 acre ranch and turn it into off-road roading place with retreat center and cabins and stuff like that. So,
Well, neither one of those sound impossible to me. I think you're going to do both those in the next few years. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess. Wow, that's awesome. Listen, Jason, how can people reach you? If they want to reach out to you, your coaching, or if they want to interact, I know you said you're with GoBundance, which is this is it networking mastermind type of group?
Yeah, it's a men's kind of mastermind group that does events. Yeah, you can find me through. So we do one-on-one coaching, and I have a team of coaches. And then I also have a group coaching program called the Mindset Academy. So that allows you to kind of learn the foundation and get going and how to align yourself to a high level of performance. The easiest way to reach me is through Instagram. I got a lot of new content there. So if you check out there's tons of Instagram content that will help you and a lot of content there. I've also have some look for usually doing 2 webinars a month where there's free content. You can also check out jasondreescoaching.com.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right, my friend.
Check it out.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Sincerely from me and Carla and our guests. Thank you so much for taking time out of your life to give back to our community. We really appreciate it. I suspect that you probably you understand a little bit, but probably don't fully understand where our industry is at and where me and Carla and other people are trying to drive and push it to. And I think this is probably going to help a lot of people. And I suspect that some of them are going to reach out to you for some coaching. So anyway, thanks so much for your time today, Jason. Everyone at home, for Dave Menz in Cincinnati, Ohio, Jason Dries, our friend, our new friend. Can I call you a friend?
Yes, you
can. I make
can.
Friends easily. All right. Yeah. My friend Jason Dries and my beautiful wife, Carla, here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Guys, we will see you next time for another episode of the Laundromat Millionaire Show. Take care, everyone.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.